Amen, amen. Well, I have been really seeking the Lord about a word, and I just want to say that I believe that this is a word for today, and I had prayed that whoever came today or whoever's watching, that you would just put inside of your heart and make a decision today then say that this word is for me. And I say that because a lot of times we come and we hear a word and we always have another person in mind who should have heard that word. I don't know, but I do that sometimes. But my heart and the Lord is speaking to me and saying, this word is for you. This word is for me. The word that I'm preaching today, it's also for me. And the title of my message is Follow Me. And we have been sharing, and Pastor Chris have been sharing about the words of Jesus. And we know that Jesus spoke the most powerful words. When he spoke, lives were changed, hearts were transformed, people were taught, you know, people were healed, and situations just changed. So every word that he speaks and he spoke in the Bible, is powerful. It's meaningful. Yes. And so when I was seeking and saying, okay, I'm reading, you know, we were saying it's the words in red. And as I'm reading my Bible and I'm looking at the words in reds, I'm like, how am I supposed to choose? I mean, he said a lot, you know? And I got to a few scriptures and it just kept coming out. Follow me, follow me. And I'm like, all the words that Jesus spoke to is what I need to preach on. Follow me. Like, you know, and so I at first I was coming at it like, follow me, follow me. And I kept trying to figure something else out, and I kept trying to do something else. But the Holy Spirit was just like, no, follow me, follow me. And so I just want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 20 through 22. And it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets, and they followed him. Going on there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And in John chapter 1, verse 43, it says, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, it says, and Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he rose and he followed him. I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that our hearts are open, that we are prepared, Father God, to receive this word, O Lord. I pray for hearing ears, O Lord, and minds that are willing to be transformed, O God. Lord, I thank you, Father, that when we leave today, Lord, that this word will take root in our hearts, Father, and we are willing vessels to go forth and preach your gospel. Yes. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So follow me. Follow me was the invitation and the calling that Jesus used to gain his disciples. It was the words that he spoke to them. And when we read the scriptures and we see what happens when he speaks these words, we saw that the disciples left the things that they knew. You know, some were fishermen. They left those things. They left the family members that they loved and care about. And they immediately rose. They didn't hesitate. They didn't think about it. They didn't like weigh their options because they knew who Jesus was. And how many people in here this morning know who Jesus is? And how many people in here are willing to let go of those things of the past? Let go of those things that keep you bound, or that those things that you may not even be bad, but that you love, and just give it all up for him, because that's what the Lord has called us all to do. If we are to follow him, it's going to cost us something. And it's up to you to see how quickly are you going to respond to the call, and are you going to be like the disciples and immediately arise and follow after Christ? Because a lot of us, we, you know, and I don't want you to think that I'm bringing a message of condemnation. I'm bringing a message of encouragement, because we all need to search our hearts at some point in our walk with the Lord. And I hope it's often that we look inside of our hearts and we begin to say, how can I do this better?
Right.
You know, how can I build my relationship with Christ better? How can I grow from this situation? How can I expand my relationship with Christ to be more like him?
Yeah.
And so this message isn't coming from a place of condemnation, but this message is coming from a place of encouragement, encouraging you to search your own heart, encouraging you to walk in a way that is worthy of the calling in which God has called you to walk in. Because if we follow Christ, we can no longer be comfortable sitting in our seats, attending church on Sunday and Wednesday or whatever, and then thinking that we go about our merry way.
That's right, that's right.
Your relationship with Christ is going to cost you something.
Yeah.
And the disciples knew that, and they still went.
Yeah.
And the scripture says immediately they left. They arose and they followed after Christ. And so I want you to keep that in mind, because following me is an invitation to the calling in which God has for you. He's calling each one of us to follow after him. And up, it's how we respond to the calling in which is going to make our relation, it's going to reflect of how our relationship is going to be with him. And I want to talk about, before I get into what following Christ looks like, sometimes it's better to understand what it doesn't look like. I don't know what it, you know, sometimes when I'm trying to think of something, I think about the things of what it, I know it doesn't look like. And so I just want to share really quickly of what following Christ, what Christ wasn't saying. He wasn't saying to the disciples, follow this religious institution,
right,
or this organization.
Right.
That's what he wasn't saying. He was actually saying, follow me.
Right.
Not an organization,
yeah,
not some ideology or a group of ideas, of man-made ideas, not some a whole bunch of rules or a whole bunch of traditions. He was saying, follow me. Look at me. Look at my life. Look how I respond. Look how I interact. Look at what I do. Look how I handle situations. This is what he was saying, and he was leading his disciples and saying, look at me. And so as we go through life, we're not following an organization. We're not, as believers, we're not following a bunch of rules, because sometimes we put those rules higher than we put Christ.
Yeah.
And it gets in the way.
Yep.
And we've all done it.
Sure.
And so I want you to think about those things. Am I doing this because this is what my mama did? You know? Or am I doing this because, do I think this way because this is how my grandparents thought and this is how we've always done it? Or am I doing this because this is what God called me to do? So we have to think like that. So following him is actually what he said is following him. And so there's three things that, you know, there's a lot of ways and examples of how we can follow after Christ, but there was three particular things that stood out to me. And the first one was in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. So following Christ means you're going to go and you're going to make disciples.
Amen.
And think about, I want you to think about right now, who are you discipling? Who are you leading and who are you encouraging? Who are you pouring your life and your time and spending your time with and bringing forth a word? Who are you doing that with?
Right.
Think about that, because following Christ, we see Christ called disciples.
Yeah.
When he began his ministry, he went and he called disciples. And now he's saying for us to do the same.
Right.
We ought to disciple. So if we're following Christ, we should be having disciples. Amen?
Amen.
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 And so people were always a priority with Christ.
Yeah.
He was always concerned about the people. And so even when Pastor Jerome was up here and he was explaining to you, like in the beginning, people wasn't my thing. You know, I liked the people that I liked. And I told him that. I was just like, no, I'm good. I like the three people that I like. I'm good. You know, but if I'm going to, I can't grow in Christ with that attitude.
Right.
The more that I spent with Christ, the more I became concerned about other people.
Yeah, that's right.
And so if I'm going to be an imitator of him, I have to be an imitator of him. I have to do the things that he does. And people have always been a priority to him.
Yeah.
And so people ought to be a priority to us.
Amen.
And he made disciples, so we ought to make disciples. And so if you're struggling in that area, you may be thinking, a lot of times we put a lot of pressure on ourselves because, you know, a lot of times we always like to make the gospel about us, which is not,
yeah.
You know, but we do. We make it about us. And so we say things like, oh, well, you know, yeah, I don't mind. I like people, but, you know, I don't know enough about the word, or I'm just still new at this, or I only know a couple of the scriptures, and, you know, I just don't really have it all together in order to make a disciple with somebody else. But the Bible says that in verse 20, it says, teach them to observe all things that I commanded. So Jesus is telling us how to make disciples. He's saying to teach them. Basically, he's saying, teach them what you know.
Yeah.
He didn't give us like instructions and say, I need you to memorize 1,000 scriptures before you can make a disciple.
Yeah.
Teach them what you know.
Yeah.
If all you know is in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, then teach it.
Yeah.
Share it.
Yeah.
Because he will build on that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about Paul, really, if you really read the book of Acts and you really start reading, especially if you read the book of Acts and you see Paul had one message.
Yes.
He had one message. Everywhere he went, he told about his testimony. That was his message. Thousands of people were changed because of his one message. We all have a testimony.
That's right.
So share your testimony. If you want to disciple someone, God, I'm pretty sure, because I'm so confident in God, and I'm so, I know 100% that if you're here and you're a believer and you have a relationship with him, he has transformed your life somewhere.
Yes.
So whatever it is that he did, share it.
Yes.
Build into someone else's life. Begin. Because another thing about, amazingly, about people, and I believe that God did this on purpose, is when we begin to share in other people's lives, right? Because we, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, we don't want to, like, we like to make sure that we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, when we start spending time with other people and they start asking those questions, they like, you know, ask you a question like, oh, you know what, I'll get back to you on that. You find yourself in the word more than you've ever found yourself when you weren't dealing with people.
Yes.
So it's a two-way street, you know. You're blessing somebody else, but ultimately they're blessing you. That's the gospel.
Yes.
You know, that's what God does. That's how he works. And so you're so consumed thinking, I'm so limited in this area or this knowledge with Christ, but once you begin to open those doors and you begin to share with other people, you're going to get so hungry that you're going to find yourself digging and searching and spending more time with him, because now you're dealing with other people.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. Amen. So whatever you know, be willing to teach someone else.
Yeah.
That's what a discipleship is about. It's about spending time and building into someone else's life. The other thing, the second thing that I wanted to share is, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong page. The second thing that I wanted to point out is when we follow Christ is we have to know who we are. Because people with no identity follow anything.
That's right.
And a lot of times, I don't mean to, I know we have teenagers in here, and I'm not like, you know, making y'all feel bad, but the teenagers between the ages of 13 and 18, and we've all of us who were teenagers at one time, we've all been through it. It's like, you know, we call that those years, like, you know, identity crisis. You know, we see a lot of teenagers, they just want to like, oh, I don't know, I'm going to go over here. I fit in here. Oh, no, I don't fit in over here. I fit in over here. They just go wherever they go. They're just trying to find their place. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not so good. But ultimately, by the time you graduate from high school, you form some sort of identity. And hopefully it's a positive identity, and it's going to shape and form you to be a positive adult. But those who struggle with finding their identity between those age groups, between 13 and 18, they struggle as adults because they're still searching for their identity. And it's the same thing with us with Christ. If we don't figure out who we are in Christ, our walk with Christ is going to be up and down.
Yeah.
It's going to be all over the place because we don't have a sense of who we are. So any way the wind blows, whoop, we're going with it.
Yeah.
So we have to know who we are, and we can no longer struggle with our identity and who Christ has called us to be. And he's called each one of us to be sons and daughters.
Amen.
You know, it's the best identity because we all know we all have parents. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have any. So we all have parents, and we know that to be the son and or the daughter of God Almighty is such an honor and such a privilege. It's the best identity. And some people struggle with that, or they don't think about it too much. I think about it a lot because I like to go around and say that I'm God's favorite child.
Amen.
I like saying that. I like making things, like I said, about me. And when good things happen and blessings come, I'm like, dang, God, you love me so much. That makes me excited. And that's my relationship with him. I make it so personal. And I make it so unique for me because it makes me feel good. And in those times when things are not going right, I remember who I am.
Yes.
Amen.
You have to remember who you are. You have to know who you are. And the Bible tells us that we are aliens to this world. And I love this because the definition of an alien is someone you are someone who lives alongside the people who belong here. And guess what? You don't belong here. You don't belong here. You only live alongside of the people that live here. So if we don't belong here and we're aliens, then we can't act like the people that live here.
That's right.
We can't be offended when people say, oh, you acting funny or you acting different. Yes, I am, because I know who I am. Yes, I do act funny. In a righteous way, of course. I ain't saying that in a mean way. But I know who I am. No, I'm not doing X, Y, and Z because that's not who I am. That's not what God has called me to be.
Amen.
We can't, and young people, listen to this. You can't give in to the cares of this world because you don't belong here.
Right.
You don't.
That's right.
And so when your friends or your peers or whatever are in your ear saying, oh, you know, you need to be doing this or you need to be doing that or you're so corny or you're so whack or whatever the word is, say, okay, and take it because you're an alien.
Yeah.
You don't belong here. And the other thing that's beautiful about being the son and daughter of God is that God has a kingdom. Yes, he has a kingdom, which is so much better than this world. So that means we belong to the kingdom. And in the kingdom, there's power and authority. We all like power and authority. And it belongs to us. He's given us power and authority. And we have to take ownership of that. And I heard someone preach, and it was a woman. I don't know who she was. I was flicking through the channels. I don't know who she was, but I caught this as I was flicking through. So I'm just going to name her as the woman. But she said, when she was preaching a message on authority, and she said that when a person has authority, that means there's someone without authority. When a person has authority, that means there's someone else who doesn't have authority. That's authority, right? That's why we have authorities. So as a believer in Christ, we have authority, which means the enemy does not.
Right.
He doesn't have authority. We have the authority. We belong to the kingdom. We're the child of God. We're the children of God. And we have that power and authority, and it was given to us. And so the only way that the enemy can get authority is when we believe that he has it.
That's right. That's right.
He doesn't really have it, but we think that he has it, and therefore we think that he has authority. But the bottom line is, he doesn't have authority. You do. So stop giving it away. Stop believing the lie and believe what the word of God says. Receive the authority that he's given you. Walk in the power. Start declaring. Start making decrees. Change your situation. Change the people around you. And be blessed.
Amen.
And you know, because when we look at Jesus, now we're following after Jesus. And when we look at his life, he never backed down.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't back down. Come on. He put the Pharisees in their place.
Yeah.
He put the governors in his place.
Yeah.
He put the devil in his place.
Yeah.
He didn't back down.
Yeah. Amen.
He knew who he was.
Yeah.
He had the authority and he knew it. And he looked different than everybody else.
Yeah.
That's why he had followers. You see, because when you look different, you have followers. When you look like everything else, nobody's going to follow you.
Yeah.
And so don't back down. Know who you are. And the reason why another reason why he didn't back down is because he knew what his purpose was. When you know who you are, your identity is connected to your purpose.
Amen.
You will never fulfill your purpose if you don't know who you are. So as we ought to follow Christ, we have to know who we are. We have to know what the word says who we are, and we have to look at his life and say, okay, this is what Jesus did, and this is how I'm going to follow. Because we have the power, and we have the authority, and it's been given to us. Now walk in it. The third point I want to share about looking at Christ is Jesus, like I said, because he knew who he was and because of the authority he had, he was free. There was a freedom that made Jesus look different. He had freedom. He knew who he was. And so I want to talk about freedom. Now, freedom, it can be tricky because you think about freedom and you always think about the things that you were bound to. We think of freedom as something physical a lot of times. And we think of it, well, you know, I'm not in jail, so I'm free. Or I'm not, like, I don't know, locked in a closet somewhere. I must be free. I'm free to do whatever I want to do, so I'm free. But there's something about freedom because there's a lot of people that's walking around that may feel like they're, you know, that they may think that they're free, but they're not free.
Sure.
Because freedom is a mindset.
Amen.
I was watching America's Got Talent. I like that show. And there was this man on there, and you know how they give like the little interviews before, you know, they perform? And there was a man on there who had spent 37 years in prison for a crime that he did not commit. And he was sharing his like story. And I was like, oh man, that's tough, you know? Like 37 years is a very long time. And he had pleaded in his innocence the whole entire time. And he just was released from prison last year because of DNA evidence. And, you know, it freed him. But he had spent 37 years in prison. Like, you can't get that time back. And so when he was being interviewed, they asked him, like, you know, well, how did you do it? Like, you knew you were innocent. Like, what was going through your mind and all this other stuff? And, like, how, you know, how did you do it? How did you do 37 years in prison for a crime that you didn't commit? And he said something about, well, you know, my faith is in God, so my hope was in God. That was the first thing he said. That's why I started paying attention. And then he said, freedom is a mindset.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, you're right. This guy is right. Now, I saw his performance. It was all right. But what I'm saying is this man professed Christ on TV, and he said, you know, even as I spent 37 years incarcerated, where people would think that, you know, he's not free, He said that freedom is a mindset, and he was free. His mind was free.
That's right.
And you know who it reminds us of. You know it reminds us of Paul. You know, if Paul didn't say that he was in prison as he wrote the letters, we would just think that he was a free man because of how he wrote, what the things that he wrote. If he didn't tell us that he was in prison, we would think, oh, he wasn't in prison writing all these letters.
Yeah.
Because he sounded like a free man.
Amen.
And, you know, so freedom is such a mindset. And we sometimes are what we call in spiritual slavery, where we chase after gods and idols and success and love, and we always come up empty. Those things never fulfill us. And we know this. We've said this a million times. We know that material things will never satisfy us. But only Christ will satisfy us. And so freedom has to be a mindset. It's not about you, whether or not you're physically bound to anything. It's not about whether, you know, you're locked away somewhere or you're free to go whatever you want or do whatever it is you want to do. It's the way that you think. You have to get these thoughts under control. Not just you. We have to get our thoughts under control. And we have to know that our mind can keep us in bondage.
Yeah.
And that's worse probably than being in prison.
Sure.
I've never been to prison, but I'm thinking that that's probably worse.
Yeah.
You know? And to have a mind that is held captive.
Sure.
And it's time that we get rid of these thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's only by falling in love with Jesus,
yeah,
following after him. It's only when, you know, Paul says to be an imitator of Christ just as I am. It's only when we become imitators of Jesus can we walk in this freedom that he walked in. And I also think about Jesus being on the cross. And this is an example of how free he was. He's on the cross. Think about it. The cross. You know, beaten and whipped. He's about to die. And his words are, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
Father, forgive them. How free was he? There's no greater freedom than to be so beaten and so down and still pour out your love and say, Father, forgive them.
Wow.
That's freedom. That's what freedom looks like. There's a lot of us in here. There's a lot that we've been through. All of us, we've whether it's our past, whether it's things that we've done or things that have been done to us, and we're only able to move on to, you know, so far because we're not willing to let go of certain things.
Amen.
Today, I want you to let go.
Yeah, amen.
Let go of those things because God wants to set you free. You know, it's already been taken care of. He nailed it on the cross once for all. And today we have to begin to walk in those freedoms. Because experiences, circumstances, shame, guilt, unforgiveness, those things are spiritual things that stay in our mind and keep us bound. You may be free to walk out the door. You may be free to go and do as you please, but if your mind isn't free, then you're not free. We need freedom of our mind. Jesus came to set us free so that we won't be enslaved to anything. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom comes when we abide in his word.
Right.
That's it. That's when freedom comes. We're always looking for the answer. Well, how can I get set free? I just told you the answer.
Right.
Abide in his word. You're looking for freedom? Abide in his word. You want to be set free? Abide in his word. You want to know what freedom looks like? Abide in his word.
Right.
Amen.
The invitation to follow Christ is for us to make disciples, to know our identity, and to walk into freedom. And before I turn it back over to Pastor, I just want to begin to close in with the scripture that he spoke on 2 weeks ago. And I want to read the whole scripture because it's beautiful. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. And it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Harbor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope and patience in tribulations, continually steadfast and in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And so I love this scripture because it's the perfect example of who Christ is. And if you get stuck, it's a reference that you can go to and say, okay, how should I behave?
Right.
And for all you Facebook people, before you write your comments,
now she's meddling.
Read this scripture.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we're so impulsive. And whether it's on Facebook or not, whether you just open up your mouth.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just better to just stay silent, you know, and just stick to the word.
Amen.
You know, before you get ready to just, I don't know, text something, send a scripture.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. I'm telling you. It's a lot better.
Yeah. Amen.
But I just want to encourage, like I said in the beginning, I just want to encourage you all to just really examine your life. And one thing that Pastor had also said is there is no example. He was speaking about Jesus, and he said, there is no example that a man has ever seen greater to follow than Jesus. And it's the truth. We don't have a better example. We don't need a better example. He's the perfect example.
Yeah.
And if we're going to change our lives, and if we're going to do what he's called us to do, he's the one that we need to imitate.
That's right.
There's nobody else on this earth that we need to follow. There's nobody else that we need to imitate. He did it all.
Yes.
And he made a way for us to do it. So please be encouraged. Please just abide in his word and really walk in the freedom that he's called us to walk in.
Amen.
Amen.